Good to be with you all this morning. I trust indeed that the change in the weather hasn't daunted you too much, but we're just thrilled to be in the presence of the Lord and along with God's people. This morning, we have been listening in unity, I trust, to the reading of the Word of God. Let's look to the Lord in prayer, shall we? And ask His guidance, His direction, and His blessing on that Word. Father, we give You thanks, we give You praise for Your love. You love us so much that You displayed that love like no other in the giving of Your Son, who had no sin and knew no sin, and yet was willing to be made sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Father, that just boggles our minds to think that hell-deserving sinners can be drawn to a Savior who can deliver us and to save us eternally. Father, we thank You for Your perfect plan for each and every one of us. We recognize there are many times in our lives that we struggle to know that plan, struggle to understand the situations that we face. But, oh Father, we thank You that we can have confidence in knowing that You are at work in each of our lives through love, that You are working everything together for what is best in our lives to bring glory and honor to Your name. Father, as we look into Your Word just now, we recognize our inabilities. Without You, we can do absolutely nothing. So we would ask that by Your Spirit, the author of all truth, that You will guide us into all truth, that You will teach us all things, that You will bring all things to our members. Minister to us this morning. Fit a blessing to each individual heart. But above all, may everything said and done be to Your honor and to Your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We come this morning to Hebrews chapter 2. And you will notice that whatever translation, whatever version you're using, the opening verse contains the word therefore. If it doesn't, you need to get a better, more reliable translation. Someone has rightfully said that every time we read the word therefore, we have to look back to see what it is there for. In other words, this statement being made in these opening verses in particular is directly connected to the prior verses. We have already seen in those prior verses that God has spoken to us completely in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. We have seen that Jesus Christ, God's Son, is better than the prophets of old because He's the complete revelation of God. He's the spoken Word of God. He's the incarnate living Word of God. We have seen that He's better than angels because of His sonship, because of His nobility, because of His nature, His immutability, and His lordship. Therefore, in light of all this, we need to pay attention. Throughout the book of Hebrews, there are five admonitions, five warnings, five urgings, five encouragements. These five admonitions are looked upon by some as problem passages. The first of these admonitions is seen here in the opening verses of chapter 2. As I've already said, and as we've already seen, the book of Hebrews opens with an important declaration. God has spoken to us in His Son. It's interesting to note that over near the close of the book, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25, the writer states this: "See to it that you do not refuse Him who speaks." Pay attention. Pay attention. In other words, God has spoken. We have His Word. What are we doing about it? We need to pay attention. With this truth in mind, we can now better understand the significance of these five so-called problem passages. I'm going to mention them in a moment. Each of these passages encourages us to pay attention to God's Word and obey it. Trust and obey, we used to sing. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The writer stresses by pointing out the sad spiritual consequences that would result if we do not pay attention, if we do not obey. You will notice as later on, or even this morning, as you look over these admonitions, these become stronger as we progress through the book. Beginning with the drifting from God's Word, we're going to look at this morning, to the defying of God's Word. Let me list these passages and attempt an explanation of their sequence in the book of Hebrews. The first one, as I've mentioned, is found in chapter 2 of Hebrews, the first four verses. It is drifting from the Word of God, and it involves neglect. Drifting from the Word of God involving neglect. The second is found in Hebrews chapter 3, from verse 7 right through to chapter 4 and verse 13. And here the admonition is regarding doubting the Word. And it involves hard-heartedness. Doubting the Word. Hard-heartedness. The third admonition is found in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11, through to chapter 6 and verse 20. And it deals with dullness toward the Word of God. And it involves sluggishness. Dullness toward the Word involving sluggishness. Fourth, in chapter 10 and verse 26 to 39, we have despising the Word. And then this involves willfulness. Despising the Word, willfulness. And then fifthly and lastly, chapter 12, verses 14 to 29, we have defying the Word. And this involves refusing to hear. So we have drifting, doubting, dullness, despising, defying. Five of these warnings. Now let me explain it this way. If we do not listen, it's interesting that Darren called us all for unity in listening. Isn't that interesting? Boy, we're right on track this morning. If we do not listen to God's Word and really hear it, we will start to drift. Neglect always leads to drifting, whether it's in material, physical, or spiritual realms. Neglect always leads to drifting. As we drift from the Word of God, we start to doubt the Word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. I was chatting with Pastor Sean this morning, and he said, "Are we in Hebrews this morning again?" I said, "Yes." He said, "You know, I find it interesting. Whether we study through one book of the Bible, it's all there, isn't it? The Bible. No matter where you go, it's the gospel, it's the good news. It's God's word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." We start to develop hard hearts, and this leads to spiritual sluggishness, which produces dullness toward the word of God. We become dull of hearing, slow to learn, lazy listeners. This in turn leads to a despiteful attitude toward the Word of God, to the extent that we willfully despise and disobey God. And this gradually develops into a defiant attitude where we refuse to hear. Wow, pretty scary stuff, isn't it? These are warnings. These are admonitions that are found in the book of Hebrews. Philip Edgecombe Hughes was an Australian New Testament scholar. I quoted from him before. He states in his commentary on Hebrews, he states this: "These admonitions dispersed throughout the epistle demonstrate that the teaching of this book is not merely theoretical and unrelated to the realities of everyday life, but is intensely practical, and therefore full of intense seriousness." He goes on, he says, "This, of course, is true of all doctrines in the New Testament, in which theology is unfailingly wedded to practice. Theology and life," he says, "go together, hand in hand." Now, having said all that, by way of introduction, let's look to the text that's before us. "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." Now, very simply, there is a twofold picture presented to us here, as seen more in the original language, that I would like us to take note of. And incidentally, is the reason for some seeming variations among the translations, among the versions. The first fold is a picture of slipping, like a ring accidentally slipping or sliding off a finger. We see this in the King James translation, lest we let them slip, the translators put. The second fold is that of drifting past a safe landing point. In other words, being carried along by the current, by the mainstream, and missing the safe harbor. We see this in the English Standard Version, the ESV, the New International, NIV, and the New King James. Lest we drift away, or so that we do not drift away. Both of these pictures, says the author, result from neglect. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Please notice, the writer speaks about neglect. What was it, Darren, you read the NIV, what was it, ignore? Ignore, yes, like that. Neglect or ignore. Now, it's important that we notice this. He talks about neglecting, not rejecting. Not rejecting, neglecting. And that's important. You see, the word that is translated neglect is a word which means to be careless of, to pay no attention to make light of. You see, in these particular verses, the writer is not so much encouraging sinners to become Christians, but rather he's encouraging Christians to pay attention to the great salvation they have received from the Lord. Let me put it this way. To reject involves a definite, determined decision, whereas neglect involves a more subtle approach, like the proverbial frog in the water approach. Remember, the gradual heating of the water creeps up on the frog, and before he knows it, it's too late. We need to pay attention. Let me quote from a variety of translations. We'll keep it short. The King James and New King James says, give the more earnest heed. The ESV says, pay much closer attention. The NIV says, pay more careful attention. J.B. Phillips says, pay the greatest attention to the truth that we have heard. The objective and intended here is a serious, firm, and fixed settling of the mind upon what we have heard. A yielding to it. An application of it to the heart. It's like putting our shoulder to the wheel. It's speaking about not just bobbing along, not just going along with the flow, drifting along, as it were, not just a casual glance, lest we should let them slip, or lest we drift away from it. By the way, it's interesting, with that drifting away thought in mind, when we turn over to Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, we read this. This hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Here in this chapter, the writer is speaking about the promises of God, the word of God. He says our confidence, our hope in the word of God is as an anchor of the soul. In Hebrews 2 verse 1, he talks about lest we drift away from it. The anchor doesn't move. We do, if we neglect. The message here, I believe, is a very needy one for the day in which you and I live. When we're seeing, you don't have to be reminded, when we're seeing sin being legalized and made acceptable, and the subtlety of the enemy is so obviously at work. If you watch any television, you'll notice even that subtlety is in the ads. Acceptable in our ads. Whoa. The message for us today, the message is, you ready? Listen up, brothers and sisters. It's time to get serious. It's time to pay attention. Time to get out of neutral and into gear. Time to quit coasting along. Coasting along. Did you ever coast along? This is gonna date us here, but when I remember back in the old country, excuse me just a second. Can't have a dry sermon. I remember in the old country, we would be out for driving a car. And because of the hills, ups and downs, and the little roads back there, we would get to the top of the hill, and we would slip into neutral. You know the old standards? You slip into, and then we'd freewheel all the way down. And we'd be so excited about the amount of gas we'd just see. Freewheeling. It's time to quit freewheeling, says the writer. It's time to quit coasting. Time to get back into gear. Time to take our stand for truth. Truth Community Church. How do we do that? Demonstration marches, petitions, rallies, standing up and speaking out. Now, all this may be good, but I believe the most effective way of taking our stand for truth, are you ready for this? Is to start living the life. Living out what we believe in our everyday life situation and circumstance. Some years ago, I believe it was the late Dr. Jerry Falwell who talked about the moral majority. He also talked about the silent majority. I still believe that today, in spite of all the fake news we're being fed. I believe that as part of the silent majority, you and I can have a very effective role in our world as we live out our Christian values. You know, where the rubber hits the road, our Christian values. Living out our Christian morals and values. No doubt you've heard the old proverb, actions speak louder than words. Or put another way, your actions are speaking so loud, I can't hear what you're saying. Dr. Warren Wiersbe said in his commentary in Hebrews, more spiritual problems are caused by neglect than perhaps by any other failure on our part. He continues, he says, I have discovered that neglect of the Word of God and prayer, publicly and privately, is the cause of most spiritual drifting. It's easy to drift with the Word. It's easy just to go along. Well, You say, but everybody's doing it. That doesn't make it right. Everybody may be doing it, but that does not make it right. You see, God has spoken. God has given us His Word. God has made His Word very clear to us. Even the youngest can understand it. We know we have guidelines. So this, everybody's doing it, doesn't work for Christians, dear friends. Doesn't work. We need to pay attention. It's difficult. It's hard to work and to walk against the stream, against the current. Ah. But listen. Brothers and sisters in Christ, listen. Our salvation is a great salvation, purchased at a great price. It brings with it great promises, exceeding great and precious promises, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, and blessings. And it leads to a great inheritance in glory, an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, says Peter in his first epistle, chapter 1, verse 4. How can we neglect it? It's time to listen up in humility. Time to listen up. It's time to get serious. It's time to pay attention. It's time to start practicing what we preach. It's time to start practicing what we believe. The scripture talks about a trumpet with an uncertain sound. And what he's saying there is he's relating, he's illustrating a life that is preaching one thing and living another. Contradiction is what it's all about. What this world needs, dear friends, is the clear, sound word of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And you and I, as believers, have that privilege of living out what Christ means to us. I wonder, we may not be very good talkers. Some are better than others. We may not be into sharing. It's not our thing. But dear friends, listen, there's great news here. We're all involved. And our lifestyle is what is going to permeate all around us. I wonder, we were singing this morning some wonderful pieces just fitting right in with our message this morning. The likeness of Christ, I wonder, is it singing me? Is it singing you? The writer says, time to pay attention. Time to get into gear. Time to get busy for the Lord. Living the life. Reflecting Him in all that we say, in all that we do, in all that we think. Oh my, we could go on and on, couldn't we? I'm not making a list of do's and don'ts here, by the way. I don't believe in that. I believe the scriptures are very clear. You know, the love of God is so great that it affects the way we live. It affects the programs we're watching on television. It affects what we're reading, what we're filling our minds full of. I remember years ago, many, many years ago, I remember we were involved somewhat in our Church of Ramilly with Canadian Revival Fellowship, the Satura twins, Ralph and Lou Satura. Boy, the Lord used those men in mighty ways. And I remember that during those times, we learned a lot. We learned a lot of simple stuff in the Word of God. we learn that God directed through His Word. Revival. Revival is a stirring, a fresh stirring of the Spirit of God in the heart of a believer. That's revival. The psalmist says, Lord, wilt thou not revive us again, that we might rejoice in you? Are you rejoicing in the Lord? I don't believe there can be true rejoicing if we're not living life. I don't believe there can be true rejoicing if we're not paying attention to God's Word. Trust and obey, says the old hymn writer, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. The psalmist says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. If you've experienced dark times in your life, your Christian life, if you've experienced times of failure, you'll know that during those times, the joy is gone. The joy is gone. But my, when we come to our senses, when we pay attention, when we get serious with the Lord, and we come very simply, bow our knees, bow our heart before God, and say, Father, I'm a sinner. Cleanse me. Deliver me. Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit. And I tell you, you've experienced it, no doubt. God will flood into your heart and your soul. And there'll be rejoicing. There'll be rejoicing. Restoring the joy. By getting serious. How shall we escape, says the writer of Hebrews, if we neglect so great salvation? Father, we give you thanks, we give you praise for your word to our hearts this morning. Forgive us wherein we fail. Father, we thank you that you know individually each and every one of us. You know our heart condition before you. You know what one we're putting on fronts. Father, I pray that you'd be pleased and touch our lives. Begin with me, Father. Touch our hearts this morning. Revive us. Stir us like never before. Draw us to the place where we're willing to pay attention, to get serious. We're willing to say, yes, Lord, use me. I want to be an instrument in your hands to reach, to communicate, to speak to this community, to this workplace, to this neighborhood. Father, encourage our hearts. Draw us closer.